It's always surprising to me how it is that people who lived hundreds or even thousands of years ago have insights into the same problems that affect us today. 1600 years ago, a bunch of monks got together and they were trying to figure out what it was that was causing human beings to suffer so much. And so they came up with the list of seven things that they think are the root of all human suffering. And I would argue that these same seven deadly sins are exactly the same problems that we face today. Now, the Catholic Church got into this thing and they co-opted it, and that's how it turned into the seven deadly sins. But when you take all the judgment away and you just listen to the underlying issues associated with each one of these things, it'll become clear to you how these seven, we'll call them inconvenient truths, trip up your life. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. Popular media would have you believe that certain negative characteristics are necessary to be successful in life. I think about the Gordon Gekko thing of greed is good, and how that kind of twists capitalism up into some kind of a winner-take-all game. And we see how that's turning out. That's not going well at all. We got more disparity of wealth than at any other time in history. Well, after talking to, hundreds, maybe thousands of guys over the course of my lifetime, I have noticed that it's not the guys that you would think that are the happiest. It's not the best-looking guys or the richest guys. The greed is good guys, they're not happy. Not the guys with the best looking wives or the fanciest cars. These people are not living fulfilling lives just because they have a beautiful wife or a fancy car. It's the guys who are dedicated to self-improvement, the guys who are looking for their authentic self continuously. They're always trying to go a little bit deeper, trying to figure out who they are and what they want from life. And they are focused on really self-improvement, emotional maturity, their inner workings. They're working on how to live their life from the inside out and not be distracted by all the craziness the world has to offer. Finding authentic experiences and enjoying them just because they are, and not needing anyone or anything in addition to make that experience more fulfilling. When you start to have that over and over again in your life, you don't want for anything, You don't have that internal need to have that experience. Before we jump into the seven deadly sins, let me talk to you about something that should be a sin, and that is spending $100 on a belt that doesn't fit right. Or worse yet, that gets all torn up because the holes weren't drilled correctly or at the right spaces. Or you're having to self-drill your own holes after the fact, post-manufacture. That's why I'm very happy to have Anson Belts as today's sponsor. Anson Belts is a family company that's been around for a long time, like 15 plus years, and they do an excellent job. Their belts have this little structure on the back side of them that makes fitting exactly the way you want it to be. I think they're at quarter inch intervals. There's like a little track on the back of the belt. It is a genius little invention, and it makes everything about wearing a belt so much more comfortable. I'm wearing shorts today and I have a belt on because I have my pockets full of gear for the shoot. And one of my biggest problems in the past was these shorts get all stretched out and then they start dropping when I fill the pockets with gear. Having my Anson belt, man, I can keep my pants up. Makes it very, very important while I'm out here in the woods. Do not want to be a guy in the woods with my pants around my ankles. Not a good look. But yes, Anson belts, I definitely am a big fan. I've been wearing one now for several months and I will never go back to another belt. I mean, these are just the best belts made. And I strongly suggest that you check them out. But you don't need to take my word for it. Anson Belts has over 40,000 five-star reviews, and they provide you with a lifetime guarantee of their belts. When was the last time you got a lifetime guarantee on anything? Belts. Hell, I don't think I've had a belt for more than 5 or 6 years before I've got to throw it in the trash. So this is going to save you money. You're going to look great. And if you use my code, you will get an extra belt and buckle if you choose their package deal. So that's three belts or three buckles, all of which are interchangeable. So you can change your look anytime you want. I mean, this is a great deal by anyone else's standard. So I strongly suggest you check out Anson Belts. So the first inconvenient truth, deadly sin, call it what you want, is pride. Now, pride shows up in our lives today as an over-reliance on superficial aspects of who we are and trying to look good for other people on the outside. So you can see this when people tend to not only seek validation, but they do things specifically for validation. One of the things that comes to my mind right away, since I'm in the fitness field, is all these pure, perfectly healthy guys taking hormone replacement therapy or steroids. For me, lifting is a way of life. It's what makes me feel good. It makes me healthy and it gives me a sense of release, you know, and I feel really great for lifting. I do it no matter how I look. Sometimes I can get lean and I look good, and sometimes I'm just fat, but I'm strong. You know, it's okay, either way. It's not about you, what you think of me. It's about how I feel about me. Well, when I see these influencers, especially online, you know, and they're taking hormone replacement therapy, and you can tell, I mean, they're just abnormally large, you know, or they're taking steroids and they look like they're aging at twice the natural rate. But for a moment, they look really good in a picture. They look really, really good in a picture. And they wear this like they have earned it, like they have done the work necessary to achieve this. But really what they did is they cheated. They took a shortcut and they risked their health and their well-being in order to look really, really good, to take on this pride of how good they are and how strong they are and how much they've worked. And the truth of the matter is it's all a facade. It's just garbage. That kind of pride, we see it all over the place. Another type of pride that we see frequently is the inability to accept responsibility for a mistake that you made. I see this in my personal life from time to time, where people that I am in friendship or have relationships with will do something completely out of their mind, you know, just completely stupid. And then they will deny that they were out of their mind or stupid by doing it. They'll find some way to rationalize what they did. And they'll blame me for it, or they'll blame someone else for it. And the truth of the matter is they made a choice to behave in a bad way, and now they're unwilling to accept responsibility for their behavior and claim that they just made a mistake. I'll tell you, the words "I'm sorry" are the most magical words in the universe, man. If you screw up, own it. Take responsibility. Yep, that was on me. Sorry about that, man. I won't do that again. Or I'm straight with that now. But it's amazing how many people have so much pride, they're unwilling to accept responsibility for doing something that was inappropriate. And like I said, I've seen it quite often in my life. When pride is at the center of your life, it's almost impossible to make genuine connections with other people. It's almost impossible for you to know who you are individually, personally, from the inside out, because you're always looking at yourself from the outside in. You're always seeing what other people think about you, and you want to make sure that they have a certain perception or understanding of who you are. And you take this artificial sense of pride in this behavior, even though it may be destructive to you in some way, like I did just said with the steroids and that sort of thing. But I've seen guys, you know, staying at jobs that they hate, climbing a corporate ladder that they despise, living with a beautiful woman that they can't stand, living in a neighborhood that they don't like, driving a car that drives them crazy, all because they want to have an appearance to the world and they want to take pride in this appearance. They want to be some guy that they have in their head. I remember hearing the phrase, you know, "I want to be that guy." And I keep thinking to myself, why do you want to be that guy? Like, why does that guy have something that you think you want? Just be yourself. Like, just be this guy. Like, if you can just be this guy, you'd be surprised at how happy you are. The game isn't about collecting the most stuff or getting impressing the most people. The game is about being happy. It's about being fulfilled in your own experience. That's the game. No one else can judge, only you. So if you're looking for other people's input on the way you behave or the way you are, you're looking in the wrong direction, my friend. If you're not looking at your world from the inside out, then you're not getting an accurate view of what the world actually looks like. And of course, Mr. Greed is Good, Gordon Gekko. Greed is not good. Greed is an attempt to fill an emptiness that you have in your soul, in your heart, for how vacant your life is with other things. And so you try to fill it with money. You try to make yourself feel like you have value by looking at your bank balance every day. And you think that I have a great bank balance and I must be a valuable person. And that's sad and pathetic at so many different levels. It's even impossible to quantify. People who honor money to that degree will try to use money not only as a way to fill their own souls, but as a way to solve problems in their lives by paying people off, by building relationships around money. And then they're surprised when they don't have any real friends, when people aren't really got their back. I mean, they're there as long as there is a transactional relationship occurring, that money continues to flow. But the minute that money stops flowing and that relationship needs, that gets stressed a little bit by some event that happens in their lives, it's amazing how quickly that bank balance doesn't matter anymore, you know, and how those friendships fall away really, really quickly. You will not find fulfillment in your life by chasing money. In fact, it's quite the opposite. When you chase fulfillment in your life, you will find money. It's funny how that works. Like, money and fulfillment do go hand in hand, but it's how you value them. When you seek fulfillment and you do those things in your life that are going to make you happy and you're going to enjoy yourself and you are honoring your authentic self, money follows. Money follows because you're going to do it well. People are going to want to be around you. People are going to want to support you. You're going to find people who want to be a part of that. But when you seek money for money's sake, you're always going to fall short. It's always going to be a painful fall. You're never going to reach that state of fulfillment that you're seeking. You're always going to come up short. So never chase money for money's sake. Chase fulfillment and let the money follow you. My favorite one is lust. This is one I've struggled with and I have to take full responsibility for it. I've spent my entire life chasing lust. And it has not paid off. It has not paid off. Lust is trying to fill your heart, fill your soul with the physical connection that you get from another person. You're trying to have this sexual experience, and through that sexual experience, you think you're going to find connection. And nothing could be further from the truth. You can delude yourself. You can create the illusion of connection through sex. But connection does not come from sex. Good sex comes from good connection. When you have a good connection with another person and you have established a healthy, strong bond with another person, and then you introduce sex into that relationship, it can really be a wonderful experience. But when sex is at the top of your list, when you're looking for a partner, and you use sex as a criteria for deciding whether you're going to have this relationship or not, you are going to suffer a lot in that relationship, more often than not. Now, it's not always the case. It's not always the case, but more often than not, that's going to be the problem. If you connect with someone based on their physical attractiveness because you want to have sex with them, and sex is that driving factor, it's difficult to go from objectifying them as a sexual object to seeing them as a human being and wanting to have an authentic connection with them. Very, very difficult. So long as we are using our external criteria, our external, you know, the way we express ourselves in the world, as a way to determine whether or not we're going to have a relationship with someone or not, well, we're missing the deeper opportunity. Because when you get to know people and you find out what they're really, really made of, and you start to have connection with them, then there's real value in that. Now, whether or not that becomes a romantic partner or not, or that person, you start having sex with them or not, is secondary to the fact that the value lies in the real relationship. It lies in the connection. I mean, we all have best friends growing up, or maybe even now, you've got some people that you really, really trust no matter what. You know, and unless you're gay, you probably don't want to have sex with them. You know, they're your best buddy. You know, you're going to have beers with them. You can trust them. You can empty your heart to them. You can tell them whatever you want, you know. when you start looking at the kinds of relationships that we form with our friends, and then take that kind of relationship and superimpose it on what we would like to have with women. Debu, come back. Debu, come. Then you start to see how empty sex is. And what's really interesting is if you have gotten into a long-term relationship based on sex, and that relationship has failed, and you have been burned by it, and you are hurt by it, well, then you begin to understand how empty sex actually is. There's really nothing there. Once it's done and it's over, and you have had that gratification, there's really very little except for a memory that will soon fade. And I mean, really, you've got a moment of just pure pleasure, and then it's done. It's done. So, yeah, don't chase sex. Lust is not something that is useful or valuable in your life. And if you see it, you know, like I did, you got to understand what it is, and you got to nip it in the bud as quickly as you can, because it can run your life. Envy is another great one, especially in the West, because we are so capitalist, and capitalism creates this opportunity. It's not necessarily what causes envy, but it creates the opportunity for envy to occur in a widespread way. And envy is a very destructive experience, because it has you always looking outward at other people and trying to measure yourself against them. And it makes it impossible for you to feel completely satisfied with your own accomplishments and your own achievements in life, because there's always going to be someone else who's better, bigger, faster, stronger, richer, smarter, better looking, more talented, whatever. And if you are always seeing what other people have and resenting them for having achieved it or that level of success or whatever it may be, then you are inadvertently telling yourself on some deep subconscious level that what they're doing is bad. And if you're constantly telling yourself that, then achieving at that level is going to be impossible for you. You're never going to get there. You're never going to actually be able to succeed at the level that you want. So when you see someone else that's achieving the kind of success that you want in your own life, you got to celebrate it. You got to be all on board. You got to be like, wow, that's great. I know how hard that is. I know that guy worked hard for that. I know it took some luck, but damn it, I mean, he did the work. He did the work, and he deserves all the accolades that come with it. And when you can look at other people's success in that light, then you create the opportunity for that kind of success in your own life. But if you are constantly resenting them and you're knocking them down, you're blowing them up because you don't think that they deserve it, whatever, you don't think they worked hard enough, you don't think that they're as good as you, and they're bad people because they succeeded at whatever you're trying to do, then you're never going to succeed. You're always going to be one step behind. You're always going to fall short. And your bucket will always be empty, you know, because it's never good enough. No matter what you do, it'll never be good enough in your own mind. Like I said before in other videos, you play this game from the inside out. You are the only one who matters. You are the judge, the jury, and the executioner of your life. That means that you're the one who decides what's good enough, you know? You're the one who decides what feels right. You're the one who sets the standards. This is a game that's played by your rules, no one else's. And so success is something that you define in your own life. If you let other people define success for you, or you look externally to decide what success looks like, you're always going to be chasing someone else's dream. That's a waste of time. I understand gluttony from a couple of different perspectives. So as you guys, many of you know, I worked as a health coach and a personal trainer for a while. So dealing with people who are dealing with overeating issues is something that was, you know, part and parcel to my daily life. But also, I have to admit that I personally had some issues with different types of gluttony in my own life. As a young kid, I don't know why, but it seems like I just couldn't get enough. You know, I got to be pretty chubby. Back in the 70s, there weren't very many fat kids. I wasn't fat, but I was getting pretty close, you know? I didn't feel comfortable going to the beach sometimes, taking my shirt off, you know? And I would eat bad food, and I would eat lots of food. And I think it was because I was trying to fill a void that I had in my life, and I didn't understand it at that time in that way, but I think that's what it was. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people, especially as they get older and their lives become more and more stressed out. They're trying to find a way to numb the pain of day-to-day life by eating. Now, Some people take it a step further and they try to numb that pain with alcohol or drugs or some other kind of substance that is going to be even more destructive than overeating. So gluttony doesn't just apply to food. You can apply it to almost anything that you would overconsume in order to numb the pain of day-to-day life. The truth is, the pain of day-to-day life seems in our minds to be much harder than what it is in reality. The reality of it is, when you face your monsters, when you face the demons in your life, they are not nearly as difficult to overcome as you think. They're not nearly as challenging. In fact, I would argue that hiding behind substances like food or alcohol or drugs actually makes the whole thing so much worse. It makes it all so much harder. We think that we're running away, we're getting away with something, that we're not experiencing the full pain, but really all we're doing is we're just delaying the immediate pain, and then we're making it all so much worse. Because now we've got the pain of what we had initially, because it's still there, in addition to all the pain that we have from the substances that we've layered into our lives that are now causing us additional problems. So now day-to-day life gets even harder than it was before. Almost every overweight person that I have dealt with since becoming a health coach and personal trainer dealt with serious issues in their life. Divorce, job stress, inauthentic behavior in their lives in some way, shape, or form, where they were trying to please someone else. They weren't pleasing themselves. They weren't living from an authentic perspective. That's really what it boils down to, is not living your life from an authentic perspective. That's what causes the greatest pain. And layering food and drugs and alcohol and whatever else on top of that, it's not gonna change that, you know? In fact, it just makes it a ton worse. So facing yourself and the demons that you think you see in your life is a much more expeditious way to resolve your pain than running away from it. Because the pain is still there when you get back. When you get back from all the, the trips into, you know, ice cream and pizza and drugs and alcohol, yeah, when you come clean, you're through with the food coma, you come back to sobriety, pain's still there. It's still there. And you're still living an inauthentic life. And you can't run fast enough to get away from that, because you take yourself everywhere you go. You've got to get back to living from an authentic perspective if you're going to avoid the pain of day-to-day life. Wrath, rage, anger, it's all the same thing. It's losing control. It's when your circumstances reach a place where you feel the only thing that you can do is lash out at other people for your negative experience. This is very common these days. You know, we see it in our politics, and it's really unfortunate, because there are lots of really good conversations that we could have, and we could find, I'm sure, a lot of common ground between the right and the left on a lot of issues if we could just get rid of all this anger and hyperbole. And wrath, or the desire to, you know, even harm someone based on something that they're doing that has no direct effect on you necessarily at all, is a sickness. It's a lack, again, of authenticity in yourself, a lack of self-love, because through that self-love, you can't have any respect for that other person. You can't have any sense of identity for who they are as a human being. You don't see them as a person. You see them as some kind of an object, as someone who is causing you difficulty and issues. And it gives you the right in your own mind to treat them with disrespect and to be angry or be wrathful toward them, or even perhaps cause them some kind of pain or difficulty in their lives because of the way you're reacting to them. The inability to take responsibility for your own actions and your own beliefs and your own thoughts and your own ideas is probably one of the biggest problems that we face as human beings, because we're always, again, looking externally for our cues. And rather than looking externally to see what all the people around us are doing, we should be looking internally and trying to decide what feels right. Because I'm telling you, the human heart is pretty authentic. It'll tell you what's right and wrong. You don't need some talking head in a podcast to tell you the rightness and wrongness of a set of circumstances. You know what's right or wrong. You know, the idea that thou shalt not kill needs to be a commandment in a Bible or in all the political or the religious texts. We all know that. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. We've known that since the beginning of time. Killing is not a good thing. But then we put an asterisk after that. We say, you know, except when. You can kill under these circumstances. You know, I don't remember seeing that one in the commandments. I don't remember seeing the asterisks. I think that in some religious books they have some asterisks where they say, oh, you can kill if they're this. If they do that, then you can kill them. I don't think that applies. I think that we all basically know that thou shalt not kill is like, that's it. That's it. You know? And wrath and anger and objectification through anger is like the step that you take right before you get to that next level, you know, where harming some other person is on the table. And we've got to control ourselves. We've got to go internally, and you got to decide, is there another way to handle this? Is there another way to respond to these situations? Reacting to a situation is generally the wrong way to do it. Thinking it through and responding thoughtfully, that's the way you have to handle it. If you can't handle your life that way, it's going to suck, because you're going to piss a lot of people off. People aren't going to want to be around you. You know, when you can be thoughtful and you can respond in meaningful ways to difficult situations, then you become the kind of person that other people want to have in their lives. But when you react angrily and wrathfully towards other people's situations, then people are going to want to get away from you. People are going to want to isolate you. They don't want to be in your presence because you're unpredictable. You're dangerous. And nobody wants to be hanging out with some guy who might snap at any minute and do something stupid. So, wrath, take it off your list. You don't want to have that as part of who you are. That's not the path to authenticity. Slothfulness, this one gets a bad rap because it gets misidentified. We think that, oh, you're lazy, so you're slothful. That's a deadly sin. That's not exactly what they mean. What they mean with sloth is that you're morally lazy, spiritually lazy. You're not doing the work internally to improve yourself and to be the best person that you can be. That you're depending on the physical world as the measurement for how you are doing as a person. You're still, it gets back to a lot of external validation where you're seeing your life through the lens of the physical world, and you're not seeing your life from a spiritual perspective or from a moral perspective. You're not bringing morality into your life and making sure that you're following the highest moral standards in your own life. That kind of slothfulness is rampant in our society today. So even mentioning it, like in this video, a lot of people are going to find that to be a very foreign thing. And the minute you start talking about spirituality, people start, you know, conflating that with religion and saying, well, I don't think all these religions are making any sense. There's so many of them, you know, and they all, you know, have different things, different gods, different customs, different rituals, whatever. And, you know, here's the thing. I'm not going to try to convert any atheists here. You know, if you believe that when you pass from this earth, that the lights just go out and you just cease to exist, like you just don't exist anymore, like you're done, there's nothing else beyond that, that there is no energy from you that continues beyond that other than maybe to grow trees and grass, then good luck with that. You know, I think that that's a difficult place to live from. But for those of us who do believe that there is something beyond this, whether you're a religious person or a spiritual person or not, then you have the perspective that there is some value in developing yourself as a spiritual person. You see yourself as a soul, and you see that there is some continuity beyond this physical existence into something else, whether that involves reincarnation or just going to heaven or whatever you want. You can think of it any way you want. But there is some value that we're bringing from this experience into our larger self, into our spiritual self. And so it's really critically important that we prioritize our spiritual growth so that as we develop into stronger, better human beings, and we get closer and closer to that end of our lives, we can feel relatively confident that we have done everything in our power to live our lives from a moral and spiritual perspective. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes along the way, and I think that we all have, and I certainly am just like anybody else. I mean, like there's that saying, we're all a bunch of sinners. Sin is just a word for mistake. You know, I said the Greek word for sin is mistake. So we all make mistakes. We all are there. But growing from those mistakes and evolving and becoming a better man as a result of those mistakes, that's what differentiates us. That's what makes you someone who's on a spiritual path versus someone who is not. Because when you can internalize those errors and see the deeper root of where they originate and understand the far-reaching outcomes that are inevitable as a result of evolving from these mistakes, you can not only improve your own life and reach for fulfillment in your own experience, but you can also help others along the way. You can help other people do exactly the same thing. And when you're in that mindset and you are continuously evolving and developing yourself on a spiritual level and becoming a moral and better human being, then you're going to attract a lot of people. A lot of people want to be around you. A lot of people want to have that energy in their lives. And you're going to be able to influence in the world in a positive way. And when you're doing that, all the other things kind of fall into place. You know, the money takes care of itself. The sex takes care of itself. All the things that you want on the physical plane will be yours if you just follow a spiritual path and you develop yourself toward the authenticity that you know is within you. And when I talk about authenticity, really what I'm talking about here is finding your true self, you know? And when you go towards your true self and you move in that direction with real deliberate intention, good things are gonna happen, I guarantee it. And you can't do that without a spiritual component. So keep that in mind. It's really crazy when you think that a bunch of monks came up with this stuff back in the year 400 AD. That's pretty crazy. So they were looking at the people in their own lives that were struggling, and they identified these seven different aspects of life that cause people to suffer the most. And it's interesting that the same things that caused people to suffer 1500, 1600 years ago are the same things that we're struggling with today. Yeah, they take different forms. Yeah, we have social media, we've got TV, we've got, you know, Fox News and MS Now and all that stuff. And we've got, you know, all the trappings of modern society and all the technologies that we have. And yet, we still at our core are exactly as the same as we were almost 2,000 years ago. That is crazy. So it gives you a sense that it doesn't really matter in terms of how smart we get, how much technology we develop. Like, your intellect is not necessarily tied to your spiritual development or even your overall fulfillment in life. You can be, I think of like Forrest Gump is one of my favorite movies, you know, because Forrest was obviously intellectually handicapped or disabled or whatever. But he was a brilliant guy because he lived a fulfilling life. He was happy throughout, and he had some amazing experiences. I know obviously it's a fictional story, but it's one that I think is very insightful because it tells us that, you know, it's not the smartest guy in the world that is going to live the best life. You know, when you strip away some of that intellect and you stop looking outside of yourself for inputs and you start seeing the world from the inside out, you can start making decisions about how you want to live your life in a fulfilling way. And that's what Forrest Gump does. You know, Forrest sees the world from that perspective and he makes decisions based on his gut about who he is and what he wants for himself. And in the end, he lives a very fulfilling life. So I think that's all I got for you on this. The bugs are starting to get to me. It's starting to get late in the day. I need to get going. But I hope you've enjoyed this video. If you have, please like and subscribe. Like I've said in the last couple of videos, remember to turn the notifications on because YouTube, in their algorithm, they may never show you another one of my videos again unless you subscribe, like, and put that notification on because their algorithm wants to show you what they want to show you. And if you don't want to turn over your free will to YouTube, turn on those notifications. All right, you guys, that's all I got for you today. Till next time, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.